But what we do have is the tri-state's largest variety of music, from alternative to hip-hop, jazz to blues, and much more. Plus, our selection is constantly being updated with the latest tunes. So, you know, maybe one day we will have a song with a didgeridoo in it. 88.1 WMUL-FM.
Welcome to Be Heard Basketball with Thundering Herd Women's Basketball Head Coach Matt Daniel. Join us over the next 30 minutes as we discuss the previous Herd contests and preview the upcoming games.
Dribble drive out that Victor free on the way. That one's good. Now Shayna Gore steps in front of the lane of the pass. Takes it behind her back. Drops it off to Leah Scott. Scott up off the glass and in.
Have a question for Coach Daniel? Call 555-345-4609 or tweet us at WMUL_sports with questions or comments.
What do you expect out of this group? You've got new faces along with a few that do return from last year.
I'm really excited about our roster with everybody that we have on it.
It's time to Be Heard with Coach Matt Daniel. Here's your host, James Collier.
And welcome into another edition of Be Heard Basketball. I'm your host, James Collier, joined in studio with Thundering Herd Women's Basketball Coach Matt Daniel. Questions for the coach, 855-345-4709. Also hit us up on Twitter. You can hit me at CollierSZLive. Also WMUL_sports with a question for the coach. Marshall takes a split last week, surviving through the snowstorm Jonas as well, and actually had to push the Herd's game from Saturday back to Sunday. Marshall falls on a buzzer beater, per se, on Thursday to Charlotte, 64-61. The Herd rebounds back after falling down behind 22, but then responds with a nice win over Old Dominion, 80-62 over in the Henderson Center this past Sunday. Marshall now 3-4 in conference play, 13-5 overall. Coach, it's kind of one of those things. You got to figure out a win on Thursday. We've got Sunday down, or at least Saturday, Sunday now, but nice win over a good Old Dominion team, but you had one from Charlotte that you clawed your way all the way back, just got the unfortunate event of Charlotte had an opportunity to use a timeout, advance the basketball to where they could not have to push it up the floor, and Griffin Dempsey with a great look for the three-pointer win.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought game. We started off slow. We didn't play well the first quarter, the last three quarters. We were certainly in the mix and made a push in the last quarter to stay involved in the game, and then we gave up an open look on the sideline out of bounds to end it with 5 seconds left, and it was a hard-fought battle, and they're a good team. Griffin hit a big shot, and it was a big shot for her being from Huntington, and I know her following here. I don't think they were part of the crew that was on the floor after she hit it, but I'm sure that they were happy for her.
We'll get to that in just a bit. It was, as you mentioned, a slow start for this team. You fall behind 23-9 after the first quarter. Charlotte really hitting on all cylinders, but you make an adjustment from the rest of the way, and including having your best quarter of the entire game, 21-7 in that fourth quarter of play. What was it that allowed you to make that adjustment those final three quarters after that slow start?
Just our kids deciding to fight, and you know, that's frustrating with this young team. We came out on Sunday, what was supposed to be Saturday and Sunday. Turned into, we fought four quarters and were able to beat a good Old Dominion team, but that's kind of the ebbs and flows of having so many young kids, and you know, we're learning lessons. I hate that we're having to learn them while taking them on the chin, but hopefully that turns into plays and not days, and we can have some momentum carrying throughout this week.
Well, that was something that you and I, we talked about at length back in non-conference play. Was you said that, you know, when you had this hot start, this team goes out, wins six in a row to open up the season, and you knew it was coming. It was like, not if, but when. But you see that now responding back. Now it's not a half of a game, it's a quarter of a game. Now what do you do to get it from a quarter of a game to, like you said, it's plays, not days?
Well, I mean, I think we're fighting harder than we fought. I think we're playing harder, maybe than any team. We're competing harder when we do compete, maybe more than any team I've ever coached. And if we can figure out a way to put those things together, which some days we can, I mean, that's evident. Rice and Old Dominion are two prime examples. Then we're going to be a tough out, and the number 11 best league in the country, and that says quite a bit for, you know, a program that hasn't had much history.
Let's talk about the ending of this Charlotte game. You claw your way back, as we talked about, down 22. You have Taliqua Hamilton step to the line, two big free throws that she knocks down. But the new ruling in women's college basketball this year, if you use a timeout, you get to move the basketball pretty much anywhere on the floor you want to up to the timeline. But as a defensive coach, you can also use that option to your advantage if you had a timeout available. You did not. Charlotte was able to use that to their advantage and get the last shot set up where they wanted.
Yeah. How that rule works is if I had a timeout and they had a timeout, I could call the timeout, and they couldn't advance the ball unless they used their timeout as well. So they still could have advanced the ball, but we didn't have a timeout to spare. They called a timeout, advanced the ball, sideline out of bounds. We went zone, overhelped on the zone, and gave up a good look. You know, we did some things in that game as players and as coaches that we can do better, and we have to be better if we're going to try and win those games.
You get 14 points from Leah Scott, 11 from Taylor Porter and Arisha Vikram. Porter really starting to come back into herself after falling to that injury before Christmas break. How nice is it to get that production back from her, especially back in the starting lineup?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you know, when you're inexperienced and one of your most experienced has one year college basketball, and then she set out last year, and for her to, you know, her ankle's kind of starting to come back around, and she's probably 90% now. We need every bit of firepower that we can possibly muster, especially as it gets, you know, into the grind of the conference season.
The ending of that Charlotte game, there was 1.5 seconds left on the clock when that three from Dempsey goes through. And from some of the reports that I heard from the game, it was pure pandemonium. How much do you take as a team? Do you learn from a situation like that? Did you see that your team kind of got caught by the awe of the shot, really not knowing what to do, what to go on with everything that was going on around it? And how do you address that and move forward to where if you run into that situation again, maybe you come out on the better side of it?
Well, we didn't talk about the offensive side of it much. I couldn't see. There were so many people. I couldn't see the inbounder when there was a second left on the floor, so I couldn't even tell them what to do. We did have the we got the ball. We threw the ball inbounds, but we didn't throw it into the crowd. I guess if we'd thrown it into the crowd, it would have been a technical foul. I'm not sure how all that I'm not sure how all that affects the rules of play, and they said because the seven other people that were on the floor on top of the five that were in the game did not affect play, there was no violation. You know, I growing up, I thought anytime there were six players on the floor,
yeah, it's that's the way I've always heard it. Six players is a violation.
So anyway, it was a weird scenario. I was proud of our team the way we fought back. It was an unfortunate ending to a great comeback, but it was a, you know, they danced all the way to their charter plane to Western Kentucky, and we were gonna, you know, get ready to play on Saturday. We practiced early on Friday to beat the storm. We ended up not being able to practice on Saturday because they wouldn't let us in the building, couldn't get treatment, anything. And so we played in the dark on Sunday, and it worked out. I mean, you tell me if you figure them out, let me know, and I'll run that game plan every night.
You go into that last timeout that Charlotte uses to move the basketball up. What do you talk to the team about in that timeout defensively? And then did you also say, okay, if they hit a shot, here's what we want to try to do offensively to try to get a last look off and at least tie or get a chance for a win?
Well, we didn't want to foul a jump shooter. We could have actually fouled. We probably should have fouled looking back. I mean, everything looking back. We went zone. I knew what they were going to run. They ran the play. One kid broke off because the play was not there and it was a busted play, and we ended up double-teaming the ball, which we shouldn't have done. They skipped it to a shooter, and we overhelped, and Griffin hit her first shot of the night. you know, we had our wits about us, aside from the storming of the floor, maybe an exaggeration, but it felt like storming of a floor with time left on the clock. So we got the ball in bounds, but we couldn't get a playoff.
Well, no hangover for this team as you move forward. As you've mentioned, kind of coming out of the dark on Sunday, you bring in Old Dominion, a team that, much like Marshall, still trying to find its balance in conference play as well. The Monarchs 7-12 overall in the season, now 3-4 Conference USA, tied with Marshall. But you go out and you really kind of had the pulse of this game at the half. You lead this team 34-27. 25-16 third quarter, but you guys open up the third quarter blistering hot.
Yeah, you know, I talked to the team about before the game. I gave them a scenario the night before, and I talked to them about stealing Brett. And I talked to them about, you know, last night we have monitors in Steele's room and Brett's room as well, but the monitor, you can see and hear everything they're doing in the dark in case they need something or whatever. But in the dark, in the middle of the night, you can hear Steele talking to herself. I don't know who they are, but we are Marshall. I mean, she lives for the intro video, lives for it. She calls it the light show. And then she talks about, you know, at guard, number one from Huntington, West Virginia, Michigan, Leah Scott. You know, and Logan Fraley, number two is Logan Fraley, and that's who she wants Brett to be, and she wants me to be number three, Alma Arkful, because she wants everything in order, one, two, three, and then, you know, all the way down the line, four would be Kadasia, and so on and so forth. But I just talked to them about, you know, they want to be you, and they're watching everything. They know that she knows that Tana and McKenzie don't have knee braces on anymore, so does that mean they get to play today, Dad? That's what she asked. And they know. They're paying attention when you come out of the game. They're paying attention when you warm up. They're paying attention to how you are in the intro video. They're paying attention to when that ball's on the floor, are you going to get after it or not? I use the example of Braden Kemper. When they're in the gym, when Braden and Landry and now Jolie, who watches, but when they're in the gym, they're playing football with Tony. Braden wants to fumble and dive on the floor, dive on the field on the ball. I mean, that's what they're paying attention to. And I challenge them to that, to be who you be when that happens. You know, because Steele's watching. Brett's watching. Braden's watching. And it was a great day, daddy-daughter day, you know. And we had a great crowd, and our team played hard. And I think that led us to play well.
Yeah, how big was that? It, you know, especially with all the weather that we had here in the tri-state area. But it announced attendance 652, but you get the crowd there, and they said the crowd was very lively, very into the game. And how much does that help your team feed off of that energy, especially when you have a good team coming in on the road?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, softball team was there. Thursday, the baseball team was there. You know, the men's basketball just arrived, and they hung around for some of it. And it's the environment that's developing for women's basketball here at Marshall is they tell me they hadn't seen it in quite some time, but you know, they got a good game on Thursday. We came up on the short end, and then we played particularly well on Sunday. I mean, the night before was a state of emergency for Huntington. The game wasn't scheduled for Sunday, and we still had, you know, a great environment for a pretty good ball game.
You talk about the men. They just arrived. They actually came out, and there was one point that James Kelly and Justin Edmonds kind of helped, they said, deflect a couple free throw attempts. But when you see the other teams around the campus really kind of contributing and supporting the program, what does that say about what your program is becoming, and how proud does that make you as a coach of seeing the work that you and your coaching staff has put in to get this program to where it is now?
Well, I'll tell you, it's something that I crave. And you know, it's I understand how hard it is. It's particularly hard with the dental practice that Jennifer has, and us doing this, and then we have Brett and Steele who are 1-3. For us, to any free time has got to be, I mean, I take the girls to school at you know, 6 in the morning so that I can get here and get work done before the day starts. And, you know, I try and pick them up as much as I can. Like, I don't pick them up today because of the radio show. And then I leave tomorrow, so I won't see them for 4 days. So any time that I get a chance, I'm going to be a father first. And trying to be a good husband. I'm not particularly great at either one of those most days, but my heart's in the right place, and so I crave that environment, and it's pretty cool to be a part of. It's pretty cool to be on this end of it, and I'm glad the word's getting out. And you know, I said, there's how many 16 sports, one team. You know, that's kind of one family, and that's an environment that I crave to be a part of.
We have a great environment. You give it a great product to witness. 80-62 win over Old Dominion, holding Old Dominion's leading score to 20 points, but she had to work for those in the second half. Taylor Porter leads the way, 18 points for the herd, 4 of 6 from long range. You shoot 41% from downtown Tripletown, and that's seemingly the pulse of this team. When you hit from long range, you guys succeed. If you struggle from behind the arc, it seems like it becomes a struggle bus ride at times for this team until things come around.
Well, I think that we shoot it based on our energy, and I think that that's important. You know, I think that's an important note. You know, Jenny Sims, she had 20 points on 18 shots. I think that's how many shots she was. How many shots did she shoot?
7 of 18.
Yeah, 18 shots. Taylor Porter had 18 on 8 shots. You know, so there's a huge difference in efficiency there. So we know that Jenny Sims can score the ball. She's one of, if not the best player in the league. And we did a good job corralling that and then held everybody else at bay and were able to get away with a win against a good team.
You take that Old Dominion team and you talk about Jenny Sims and what she can do on a floor, but you hold everybody else to single digits. Was that the game plan of going in of if we have to let her get hers, that's fine, but we're going to take everybody else away and make her beat us as an individual?
Well, we knew she was going to take shots, and we didn't know, you know, whether they were going to go down or not, but you weren't going to limit her shot attempts. You had to make them be tougher shots. And that being said, it was a dry game plan because of the days off and the snow and all that kind of stuff, but our group was pretty locked in, and you could just tell, and I was really proud of the effort.
We're up against our first break. We'll take that now. We come back, we'll talk about the upcoming road trip for the Thundering Herd. It heads to Murfreesboro this Thursday with a matchup against Middle Tennessee State, and then off to Birmingham for a matchup with UAB. That's coming up right after this, right here on Be Herd Basketball, 88.1 WMUL FM.
Captain Pollution. I use my landfill powers to keep the people of Huntington satisfied with their consuming lifestyles. People enjoy the easy life. And what a success it's been. I have this region ranked in the top 25 nationally for air pollution.
Is that a blue sky off in the distance?
By using the citizens of Huntington to recycle their aluminium cans, plastics, paper, grocery bags, and glass, I will drain you of your landfill powers.
That's only the beginning. Soon they'll be reusing or donating items, even composting.
My influence over this valley comes through the people themselves. Their attitude of use and discard will always keep them under my power. This valley will never witness your fantasy of clean, Mr. Green. This consuming lifestyle is a facade, keeping dirty reality hidden.
Stop listening to Captain Pollution's garbage and the trash talk. This message brought to you by the eco-friendly WMUO.
Welcome back to Be Herd Basketball with Coach Matt Daniel. Have a question for the coach? Call 557 or tweet us at WMUL_sports.
Welcome back to Be Herd Basketball. I'm your host, James Collier, with you until 6 p.m. here in the studio with Thundering Herd Women's Basketball Coach Matt Daniel. Question for the coach, 855-345-4709. Hit us on Twitter. Call your SZ Live with questions or comments. The Herd back on the road after spending the last 2 weeks here at home. It'll travel down to Murfreesboro this Thursday night for a matchup with the Blue Raiders. And then it'll have UAB coming up after that. Middle Tennessee State, currently third in conference play, 5-2, sits behind UTEP and Western Kentucky, who remain undefeated at 7-0. UAB and is tied with Marshall at gridlock right there in the middle with about seven teams sitting at that 3-4 slate. And coach, talk about first off your matchup with Middle Tennessee State, two players that jump off the stat sheet. Obviously, Bria Edwards, what she's doing for that team, but Alex Johnson picking up her fourth Conference USA Freshman of the Week honors. What do you take away from this team? What do they do well? What do you have to take away from them to get the win?
Well, they're going to be really physical. They're always going to be really physical and do what they want to do. They're not really concerned with what you want to do. You mentioned two players, and then Rick has a son, Matt. Rick Ensel, the head coach at Middle, has a son, Matt, who's the head coach at Ole Miss, and they played each other, and he thinks their best player is Ty Petty, the point guard. So that just shows you how dangerous they are, and it's going to be a tough test and a tall order. In a great environment at Middle on Thursday, and then you turn around Saturday and you go to UAB against a team that's right in the mix, and so it'll be a challenging weekend to say the least.
Yeah, with Middle Tennessee State, if we talk about Bree Edwards, she's averaging 18 a game. Ty Petty 11 at the point. Alex Johnson just a tick under 10. But you go six deep on that team that is scoring 5.5 to more or points or more. When you see the point production spread out across the team like that, does that make a team more difficult to prepare for?
Sure. That's what we try to do. It's a different area of the floor every night. So it's you just have to go out and be as solid as you can, and whoever they have cooking that night, you have to try and shut that stove off, and then hope the other ones aren't so hot. I think our kids, we had a good day of practice. We'll practice tomorrow, and then we'll drive down. And I think our kids are excited to play. I think our kids like to play. And that's a good feeling, going in. But, you never know what's going to happen in that environment with such a young team.
This Middle Tennessee State team, a +3.5 margin on the glass. Turnover, a +1, but turn it over almost 18 times a game. Is that something that you look at of saying, this is something we can exploit going in, trying to force those turnovers that obviously you want to lead to points on the other end?
If we can, we'll take it any way we can get them. We're not going to be afraid to mix it up. And our press has been effective, as of late, which is great. It's a great way to be able to change up pace and things of that nature. So we'll take it, whether it's turnovers or defensive rebounds or I have no problem if they just want to lay down out there as we take the floor, but we'll take it any way we can get them.
Their last four opponents, all opponents that you have faced, how much does that help you in the preparation of knowing kind of what to expect and what they like to do and what works well for them?
Well, comparative scoring is usually nice, but our league, there's such a bottleneck in our league of what's going on. We beat Rice pretty handily, and they beat Rice by one. We beat ODU pretty handily, and ODU beat them. And it was at Rice, but it was at Middle for ODU. So who knows? It's a coin flip, and it matters which team we have that's going to show up. And if we've got the right team, then I'm in good shape. I kind of like the game, no matter who we play. And if we don't, it's going to be we look younger and younger with every possession, and that can be hard on an old coach that's about to turn 40, old coach, whenever we're not locked in.
You've got UAB Saturday, a team that, unlike Middle, they have two players that pretty much lead this program, and then when you go past the fourth player on that point production, it really falls off significantly. What adjustments do you make for a team like that to where you know where the point production's coming from, but you don't want to get caught in the backside of allowing someone that you didn't expect to beat you?
Yeah, we'll try and make those adjustments, but you can't overlook anybody. Just like nobody can overlook, who are you going to overlook on our roster? We've had every one of our top six or maybe seven have led us in scoring. And we've probably had four or five different leading rebounders and assist getters and, all those things. So we know as well as anybody that you can't overlook anybody on any roster.
Talking about your roster, you've got four players that pretty much are your normal players that eat night in and night out of that starting five that's going to go out and give your production. But you can go four or five players deep that any given night may come off the bench and explode for 15 or 20 points.
Logan Fraley is a great example. She's a great example. Kadeja Brooks and Maddie Morris have been giving us good solid minutes too. And Kiana Evans down at Florida International. It just Taylor the last couple games. It's a cool, good roster. I like the roster. It's just young, and it's causing a little more gray hair in my young life. But it's It's a roster that I like. I like them in practice, and I like them when they play hard in games as well.
You talked about Kadeja and Maddie, the production they've been giving, especially with Chelsea being banged up over the last couple of weeks. How big has the production of them been for the team, but also the experience they're getting out on the floor help them try to mature into quick players?
Oh, it's been huge. I mean, if you took it, and it might have been before the North Texas game, their stat line, Maddie and KB's, Kadeja, it was essentially the same. Rebounds, fouls, I mean, everything was about the same. And then it's Kadeja has she's kind of come on as of late, and which has been really helpful. Maddie's probably a little bit more of a tweener. I think she really wants to play the three. I think I told her the other day, you're a three next year. Book it. You can write it down right now. Now you got to go guard Kiana, you know, or Ama, but you're a three next year just because the respect that I have for who she is. And they're pretty mature. You know, they're pretty mature. They've both been really great. Maddie hit a big shot for us the other day on the baseline in the short corner against a time when we were struggling a little bit. They changed the defenses, and Maddie settled in and hit a big one.
Now, that's not the shot to leave her open. That's kind of the shot she made her bread and butter in high school over at Spring Valley. But you find yourself this weekend, this is kind of midpoint of conference play. 3-4 on the season, you've got an opportunity to put yourself above 500 or fall deeper toward the bottom of the conference. How big is this weekend for the program if to make that push toward the conference tournament and be able to get yourself in a favorable position?
I think it's a big weekend, but I think they're all big weekends. You know, we're not world beaters if we go 2-0 or get a split, which is what you know, if you in a dream world you'd like to have a split. If you go 2-0, you probably are world beaters in this league, but I'm also not going to – the sun's still going to come up if we take lumps. I mean, it's hard to win games. It's hard to win – harder to win games in conference, and it's really, really hard to win games in conference on the road. So I just want to focus on getting better and having them play hard and act right, and then we'll let the chips fall where they may.
You talk about the energy. How important is it being the first time this team's been on the road in 3 weeks?
That's huge. I mean, it's huge, and I told them it's going to be an environment like Western Kentucky, and Western Kentucky hit us in the mouth, and we were never in the fight, and it's going to be an environment similar to that, so hopefully we'll respond a little bit better.
Coach, good luck this week on the road. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, I appreciate it a lot. Appreciate all the support we're getting. It's a great time to be a part of it.
That'll do it for tonight's program. We'll be back again next Tuesday night, 5:30, right here on Be Heard Basketball. For Head Coach Matt Daniel, I'm James Collier. Our producer, Akira Uchida, saying good night from the Cutting Edge, 88.1 WMUL-FM. All clear.
Thank you for listening to Be Heard with Thundering Herd Head Coach Matt Daniel. Tune in again every Tuesday evening at 5:30 for another edition of Be Heard.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil Slug King and went back to my Super Twig Fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I missed a mortgage payment, but now I'm turning things around. With Sam, I can.
Sam is Smart About Money, a free online resource from the National Endowment for Financial Education. We're an independent nonprofit foundation dedicated to helping people just like you get sound information about money at samican.org.
Business has fallen off at work, but I'm getting prepared for whatever the future holds. With Sam, I can.
Get empowered. Reach your financial goals. Visit samican.org.
Hey man, you dropped something.
That's okay, it's just trash anyway.
Actually, it's not okay. It's littering. You should pick it up and throw it away. It would be even better to recycle it.
What are some other ways I can help out on campus?
Try picking up litter around campus, recycling soda cans, plastic bottles, and paper at the designated bins around campus, taking shorter showers to save water, or walk, ride a bike, or even carpool to cut back on air pollution.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Think green and be Marshall Green. Brought to you by your friends at the eco-friendly WMUL 88.1 FM.
WMUL FM, Huntington.